read together in Holy Scripture from Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. He setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattereth kings in it, it was white as snow in Selma. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such an one as goeth on still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of bulls with the calves of the people, till everyone submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord. to him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he does send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God, his excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. I call your attention to verse 19 of Psalm 68. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, while an annual Thanksgiving Day is perhaps the most artificial of all our special worship services, it's not without benefit. It gives us occasion to remind us that every day is to be a day of thanksgiving for us. And the text that we consider today gives great emphasis to that truth. Because here we are called to bless the Lord, who daily loads us down with benefits. And what is translated daily finds great emphasis in this text, because literally we read that term day twice. Yom, yom, daily. We have reason for blessing the Lord. And that's why I speak of a national Thanksgiving Day as being something artificial. From a certain point of view, it's even shameful that we have to be reminded in such a way of what we owe to God daily. But the Lord knows that we are flesh. He knows our human frailties. And we also, recognizing that with deep humility, gather in worship today to give consideration to our calling to bless the Lord. And I take that as my theme this morning, blessing the Lord. We notice the meaning, the reason, and the participants. The meaning, the reason, and the participants of blessing the Lord. Blessed be the Lord, says David. If we are properly to understand the meaning of this proclamation, our focus has to be directed immediately to the object of this blessing. The object must be first, because this blessing that we are to give is a blessing on bended knee. David points us to the Lord. Now, I've called your attention many times to the fact that the name Lord is often found in our Bibles in all capital letters. Do you boys and girls remember what that means when the name Lord is found with all four letters capitalized? That means the name by which God reveals himself to us there is Jehovah, isn't it? But there are other times, and this is one of them, when the word Lord is found with only the first letter capitalized. And then the name Lord is Adonai, which itself means Lord, that is, the absolutely sovereign God before whom all must bow. He's the one who makes low, who puts in subjection to his own wise purposes. He's Lord over all. So that it's the psalmist's intention to point us to the exalted one, the one who, in the words of verse 18, led captivity captive. He's the one who enabled us to enjoy the fellowship of Jehovah God. He did so by his all-powerful hand. When you look at this psalm carefully, you find emphasis. The emphasis is upon God the Lord, whose is all power, might, and dominion. He's the one who accomplishes his sovereign purpose, even scattering his enemies to do so. And while that theme is carried throughout the psalm, the psalmist brings it to conclusion with these words in verses 34 and 35. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. The God whom we bless is the God of our salvation. He is, to put it in New Testament language, the one whose name is Jesus, that is, Jehovah Salvation. This mighty God of our salvation came down in the person of Jesus Christ, taking on himself our human nature. And he did so in order that that same human nature which had sinned might pay the debt by his accursed death on the cross. And that I make no mistake in identifying this God of our salvation with Jesus, I demonstrate by calling your attention to the verse that immediately precedes our text. Verse 18, we read in verse 18, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 for a moment. I call your attention to Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 7, where we are told by the inspired writer, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now notice, wherefore he saith, that is, God said, and the reference here is to Psalm 68, verse 18. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He refers to the benefit of Christ's ascension, the gift of grace being given by Jesus Christ. And those are the benefits that Psalm 68, verse 19 refer to. The God whom we bless, the God of all grace, is the God of our salvation. And then don't overlook the personal element in this text. He's the God of our salvation. His omniscience, his omnipotence, his unchangeable faithfulness, his loving kindness and his grace, indeed all his attributes are ours. The one God is ours. The triune God is ours. The Father is ours. The Son is ours. The Holy Spirit is ours. That is, the covenant God who has within himself a perfect life of love and fellowship has been pleased to take us into the fellowship of that life that is his. He determined it from eternity. The God of election is ours. The same God is ours as the God of our redemption. He fulfilled it in the giving of his only begotten Son to take our place and to pay our debt. And then he continues to impress upon us the beauty of it all by the work of His Holy Spirit in our hearts and the application of His Word to our lives, so that we may say, as well, the God of sanctification is ours. Blessed be the Lord. Now, what does it mean to bless the Lord? You know, of course, that God is blessed forever. I mentioned that, and we have to know that, because that's also the text. You notice that the little verb be, which is included in our Bibles, is italicized. So the translators tell us that word is not in the original. So that literally, the text would read, "Blessed the Lord." That is, He is blessed in Himself. He is so because He's perfectly self-sufficient, the eternally good God. All His attributes reveal His blessedness. But the translators don't make a mistake when they insert that little verb be. The very fact that He is blessed in Himself also means that when He stands before us, and that after all is the perspective of the text, when He stands before us, He is to be blessed by us. To bless God is literally to kneel down before Him, to worship and adore Him. When we bless the Lord, we humbly bow before Him as the God of our salvation, who has loaded us down with benefits. To bless Him is to point to Him and say, "He is my God." That means more. That means also, He is my God, though He is perfectly self-sufficient, who has no need of me. You see, to bless the Lord is to be deeply conscious of our own insignificance, our own unworthiness. God needs no worship by men. What can you and I add to Him? I'm frequently reminded of what He tells us in Psalm 50 when He says, "I will take nothing from you." That is, there's nothing that you can bring that will add anything to or satisfy God. And He continues in that Psalm 50, verses 10 and following, "For every beast of the field is mine, every beast of the forest, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." And then He says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High." So to bless the Lord is first of all to acknowledge that we are empty and unworthy of the least of His benefit. So if the farmers had an excellent harvest, don't think you had that coming. Is your table going to be full today? Don't think you're worthy of that or deserve that. Do you have health and strength? Don't think that somehow that's because of you. Yes, we have a calling to take care of our bodies. But that health that we enjoy is from God alone. And we all know he can remove it in an instant. And what has he given you spiritually? It's not because of you, is it? And that, after all, is the most important thing, the lasting thing, what God has given us spiritually. Have you received from him in payment for what you've done? You know better, don't you? It's entirely of grace. We bless the Lord, who's the fountain of all good. Indeed, as Jeremiah says, the fountain of living water. We acknowledge our dependence upon him. So we acknowledge our dependence upon him, not only on prayer day when we come to him with prayers concerning our needs, but also on Thanksgiving Day when we thank him for all his goodness to us, because we are nothing. And we have nothing of ourselves. Our fullness is all of him. And if you ask, how can I bless God by my actions? The answer is found in Colossians 3, verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You see, to bless the Lord is not a matter of a moment. It's not a matter of one day of the year on the fourth Thursday of November. To bless the Lord is the very purpose of our existence, the purpose of our creation, the calling that we have day by day. Nor is it confined to an act of worship in the fellowship of God's people and under the oversight of the elders. Yes, the psalmist says in verse 26, bless ye God in the congregation, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. That begins in the congregation, because that thankfulness is instilled in us by God himself, who uses the means that he has ordained to work that thankfulness in our hearts. Such blessing of God is our response, our necessary response to the preaching of the gospel, the response worked by the Holy Spirit in our hearts when we see our Savior and hear his voice and see the glory of our God in his face. But that response certainly carries over into our daily lives. To bless God is our calling in every aspect of life, every day. Because it's certainly true, he daily loadeth us with benefits. The reason for blessing the Lord is found in that wonderful truth, God is good. All the time. He's the good God. He daily loads us with benefits. How many benefits has he loaded upon us? How much we have to be thankful for. And the fountain just keeps flowing. Clothing and shelter to keep us warm on a cold day like today. Are they not from the Lord? Food daily. Yes, you might buy it in the grocery store. It may have come from the farm. But you children know that food came from God, didn't it? The money you use to buy that food Because that turkey isn't just going to come flying into our onto our tables. Is the money you use to buy that food took a job, took income. And we have to remember that job and that income also depends upon the Lord. His goodness to us, the water that we drink, is given us by God. There's electricity and there's heat, so we can sit in this sanctuary today comfortably and worship the Lord who gave it. The church's children. What a blessing from God. Because we read in Psalm 127, verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." And although God has his purpose in single life too, that's also a blessing to the church. For many, God has given a benefit also in marriage. There's the family of God, the body of Christ, in which we all have a part, as the psalm makes clear. A very important part for every one of us. The Lord sets the solitary in family. Family of God. The fact that we can still worship together freely is a benefit we ought not take for granted. We don't know how much longer we'll have it. God would have us praise him for his goodness to us and what benefits there are in the means of grace, the preaching, the sacraments. Do we thank God for his blessing? And what about the privilege of teaching our children? What a tremendous blessing is the school that we enjoy, the teachers God has given us, who are one with us in the faith, who teach our children as children of God's covenant with all that that truth embraces. And do we enjoy a measure of health? Again, that too is a matter of God's constant benefit. Every moment needs the heaving of our lungs and the pulsing of our blood, the proper rhythm of the heartbeat, and so on. It's God's constant care that gives us all those things. Oh, you say, what about sickness? Yes, there's been quite a bit of sickness again lately, hasn't there, in our homes? That certainly doesn't look like a benefit from God, does it? But doesn't God, after all, use those afflictions for several positive purposes? Doesn't he often strengthen our immune systems by making it work in attacking various viruses? And doesn't he use illnesses to teach us in a variety of ways? He teaches us how much we need each other. He teaches us how important is our health and how dependent we are upon our Heavenly Father. He gives us affliction, as we read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, that it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He gives us those trials, as Jesus taught us in John 9, verse 3, that the works of God might be made manifest. Yes, I realize we can't often see how that affliction works for us, but we speak now not of things seen, we speak of the things not seen, the things that we realize by faith are true because God said it. So the Bible teaches us day by day, he loads us down with benefits. I've hardly begun to enumerate them. But beloved, when I speak of all those things as benefits, you realize that that can only hold true in the light of one great benefit under which all those other things must be subsumed, and which is the heart of it all, because all those things are benefits that God loads upon us, only as they are blessings of salvation. Only then do those things serve our salvation. The benefits that the Lord has loaded upon us and continues to do so were obtained for us in his ascension, as prophesied in the preceding verse. They are the blessings of salvation bestowed upon us by the Spirit of Christ. So we bless the God of our salvation. Those benefits, spiritual benefits, the blessings of salvation that he gives us are so weighty. We can't say less than this. He daily loadeth us with benefits. He loads us down until we are bowed down under a joyful sense of obligation to thank him for his mercies. What grace he has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. What mercy that he would refer to us as his friends. Think of the place he's given you in Christ. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. You have a share in all that Christ is and has and shall be. In all the gifts of his ascension, you have a part. Now think what this means. I'd like to illustrate it with a picture. Suppose a man shows up at your door after church today as you're getting ready to sit down to your big meal. And while it's cold outside, he doesn't have a coat. He's dressed in rags. Hasn't shaven or had a haircut for weeks, and obviously hasn't showered either. Terribly thin, shivering in the cold, and he asks if you might give him just a little bit to eat. And suppose you look past that man's appearance, and you find a soft spot in your heart so that, having asked him about his situation, you invite him in just inside the door while you go get him a piece of bread or maybe even a turkey drumstick. And he leaves thanking you for your help, and you feel pretty good about yourself, being a benefactor to such a poor man. Now suppose he shows up again tomorrow. You may begin to think, I've already done my share. What more do you want? But maybe to avoid embarrassment. You don't want to appear a benefactor one day and an ogre the next. You give him another meal. Should he turn up the third day, you're ready to say to him, "Man, I've done more than my share. It's time for you to go someplace else." Now look again at our text. At the God of our salvation, who daily loads us with benefits. Who are we that we should receive such benefits from him? I don't care if you happen to be filthy rich, even though you may hide it well. You've never been above a pauper when standing before God. Just like that man that I just described. And it's actually much worse than that. God has given to you, and I include myself with you, and having received abundant gifts from his hand, you not only take all those gifts for granted, you have the gall to stand before him and complain about the gifts he's given you. And you eat at his table, and you proceed to toss the garbage on his floor before you walk out the door? Day after day, you eat from the goodness of his hand, yet you've shown yourself time and time again his enemy, sinning against him repeatedly. And he enlightened you, gave you the conviction of your sin. He made you see your guilt. He loaded you down with his mercy yesterday. But you come to him again today, having sinned against him again. And like manna, he gives you fresh benefits, the bread of life again today. Do you know the tremendous benefit, the astounding blessing of his perfect pardon and the righteousness that covers us and cleanses us in his sight? His mercies are new every morning. Not only does he welcome us into his fellowship for a moment, then sending us on our way, he adopts us. He makes us his own. He gives us all the blessings of salvation as heirs. It's astounding. Blessed be the Lord. And this is true, you understand, because the load that should have been ours, he took upon himself. He did so in his own dear son. He took all our debt, all our guilt, all our sin upon himself, and he bore the load of God's wrath that was rightfully ours. He took that which would have crushed us, and he carried it to deepest hell until the justice of God was satisfied. And while that load is gone forever, there is a sense in which we must realize day by day he bears our load, standing always before the Father, pleading his righteousness on our behalf. But the result of that, you see, is that he received the Spirit without measure to bestow upon us the feather-light load which is our privilege to bear. You remember what he said in Matthew 11? My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Take it upon you. Every day, he loads us with benefits, the blessed privilege of belonging to him. He loads us with benefits not only on the bright days, on the dark days too. When we are sick, even in agony upon our beds, he's still loading us with benefits, just another form. He sometimes sends priceless jewels to us in dark boxes. We don't even see them until we're given grace to look inside the box by faith. He preserves us from falling. He carries us onward, purifying us with his sanctifying grace. It's only in the light of those blessings of salvation that we see also the good gifts he bestows upon us as serving us in our spiritual sojourn. And so we read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Do you find it so, beloved? Our benefactor, the God of our salvation, makes prosperity and poverty, health and sickness, life and death, work together for good to them that love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For as we read in the last part of 1 Corinthians 3, all things are yours. All things are yours, for ye are Christ. So you see, the participants of this psalm are only those who've tasted the Lord's salvation. We've seen clearly from Psalm 73, grace is not in things. We don't celebrate God's grace today as being in the things that he gives us, as if those who have few or no possessions have no grace. We celebrate the God of our salvation. We bless the Lord who has sovereignly bestowed his grace upon us, drawing us into the fellowship of his love, making us his own possession. I say again, that's a most beautiful word in this text, us, who daily loadeth us with benefit. Even the God of our salvation. For that reason, a national Thanksgiving Day is a spiritual impossibility. We have a day of Thanksgiving because of the influence of the Puritans in our early history. But a national Thanksgiving Day, that's never been a possibility. Because without grace, it's impossible to bless the Lord. And while all men receive good gifts from God in abundance, and while oftentimes the wicked have more than the righteous, the one thing the wicked don't have is grace. Good gifts are wonderful, but if you have grace with those gifts, you have salvation. Good gifts are wonderful. But if you have no grace with those things, you had better weep in receiving them. The wicked receive abundance, but not with God's favor. We saw from Psalm 73 how how God, in their prosperity, sets the wicked on slippery places to cast them down into destruction. How shall they give thanks who have no grace, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, who care not for God's glory? For anyone to bless the Lord, it's necessary that that person first be blessed by the Lord. That's the text. And so it is our testimony as we gather to praise him today. Us, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits. That little personal pronoun is a beautiful word. It's a word that embraces you who are in Christ Jesus, no matter the circumstances of your life. It's a word that must bring sweetness to our souls. That God should load David with benefits was a blessing to him, not to me. But the inspired psalmist speaks not only of the benefits that he has received, but that belong to all those who know the Lord as the God of their salvation. We rejoice today for the wonder of grace that God should load us with benefits. What abounding mercy. Isn't it true? So let's not focus merely on things today. Let's look at how those things come to us. God has given them to us to serve us as a portion of our salvation. They are subsumed under the blessedness of the great gift by which Christ overcame the power of death and reconciled us to God. We're walking to heaven, beloved. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah. Period. Amen. Gracious Father, we give thanks to thee for the riches of thy grace and thy goodness to us, expressed in a multitude of ways, but all coming to focus in the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, as we partake of some of thy gifts today, gifts of food and drink, sanctify us that we might partake of them in thankfulness of heart, even as we have partaken of spiritual food in thankfulness of heart. For Jesus' sake, amen.